A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire, Frederick II's restoration. With the assistance of Frederick's father-in-law, John of Brienne, who still claimed the title of King of Jerusalem, Gregory began the invasion of Sicily. Rumors spread that the emperor was dead and promises of freedom and independence were made to towns who rebelled against the emperor's authority. Nevertheless, Frederick's soldiers under the command of Rinald of Spoleto was able to slow the invading armies long enough for Frederick to return. When Rinald was driven back, the sudden return of Frederick to Italian soil turned the tide. Many of Gregory's cities, upon learning the emperor was not dead, quickly reverted back to loyalty for Frederick out of fear, if not love. Frederick crushed the opposition and made an example of at least one city, Sora, which he razed to the ground after executing its inhabitants. By October 1229, about 5 months since his return, Frederick succeeded in restoring Sicily to his crown. Pope Gregory IX, who had again excommunicated Frederick for returning from the crusade, was all but defeated, save the fact that he was the pope. He knew that Frederick would not dare to kill a pope if he could avoid it. With this in mind, he was receptive of Frederick's negotiations. Gregory was allowed to return to Rome, the Sicilian church would be exempted from secular jurisdiction, and the Templar and Hospitaller knights would have their properties returned, in exchange for which the Pope agreed to lift the excommunication of Frederick and renounce his acts against him. The pact was agreed upon and enacted in 1230. Gregory even disingenuously called Frederick the beloved son of the church. With Gregory having officially lifted the excommunication from Frederick, the issue of John of Brienne had to be resolved. He was Frederick's father-in-law and a friend of the Pope. Frederick had claimed the title King of Jerusalem and would not surrender it. It was then decided that John of Brienne would be named as regent emperor of the Latin kingdom of Byzantium for the still child emperor Baldwin. The decision proved to be a good one. John ceased to be the King of Jerusalem, but he became an emperor instead. Moreover, he helped prolong the decaying Latin kingdom. Invaders from the Greeks came from both north and south, hoping to reclaim what they believed was their empire, stripped of them by the Fourth Crusade. John's ability served to push back the Greeks and keep the kingdom alive for decades to come. Frederick now had the task of setting his affairs back in order again. Although he reclaimed power, the situation in Sicily, Italy, and even Germany was far from perfect. In Sicily, Frederick enacted the Constitutions of the Melfi, which clearly established medieval monarchy. It declared that God had established kings to master over men and downplayed the role of the church. It declares Frederick the Emperor of the Romans, Caesar Augustus, an heir to the divine predecessors of ancient Rome. The laws themselves were numerous and aimed at increasing the country's finances as well as establishing new laws. Heresy was punishable by death and declared treason. Jews were limited to 10% interest rates on money loaned. Cities would pay large fines if a murderer escaped justice. In Lombardy, the situation was worse for both Frederick and the Pope. The Italians of northern Italy had always resisted papal authority and had become a haven for dissident Christian sects. The distaste for the papacy among the Lombard League had also spread to Rome, where the popes had always maintained an uneasy relationship with the people. This relationship with the Lombards and the Romans was further agitated by Gregory IX when he began to expand the Inquisition and its powers. In 1229, the Council of Toulouse forbade the use of the Bible to laymen, and the mere suspicion or even rumor were sufficient grounds to bring someone to the Inquisitors. Frederick's Constitutions of the Melfi allowed the Inquisitors to act upon even the slightest suspicion of guilt. The trials themselves were usually conducted in secret, and property of the guilty could be seized by the state. Even repentant heretics could be sentenced to life in prison. So great a number were these repentant heretics that some in France complained that they couldn't quarry enough stone to build all the dungeons necessary. The Lombard League vigorously opposed these measures and defied both the Pope and the Emperor. In Germany, it was likewise there was problems. The German princes had grown to love the fact that their Emperor had been absent for a long number of years, for it gave the princes of the authority to act on their own respective regions without interference. However, Gregory's young son, Henry, was no longer a child. He had slowly demanded that his regent give him more power until finally marched an army into Bavaria to demand the regent give him the authority to act. Henry began to assume the control of the state, to which the princes objected. They argued that it was Frederick, not Henry, whom authority belonged, and Frederick agreed. In 1232, at a council at Ravenna, Frederick chastised his son, who he had not seen since he was but a small child, declaring that his actions detracted from those of the emperor. While Frederick was asserting his autocratic powers in Italy, he warned Henry not to interfere in the affairs of the princes, who officially acted in the name of the emperor. Frederick even threatened to depose Henry if it got out of hand again. The actions did nothing to endear Frederick to his son, who probably had to be reminded which prince was his father, since he hadn't seen him since childhood. Henry was also aware that his stepbrother Conrad was favored by Frederick. Henry's visit had been short, but he had seen the troubles in Lombardy and the frivolity of his despotic father. Upon his return to Germany, he immediately began to seek out those loyal to him. Within a year, Henry was plotting a coup. Concerning this coup, Henry's motives have been debated. Some see him as a visionary who supported dissident Christian sects, forerunners of the Protestants, and democratic communes. Others see him as merely a fortune hunter. Since little personal information on him remains, it is hard to ascertain which is correct. He certainly maintained many allies from the so-called heretics and the commune, but it's also possible he was merely using them. On the other hand, he was next in line to inherit his father's kingdom. Was he really so impatient as to risk all of it on a coup, if in fact he did not adhere to the tenets of the dissident Christians and Republican sympathies? In any case, his coup would be doomed to failure. The same year saw Gregory driven from Rome again, that's the Pope, before being restored by Frederick. It seemed as if he and Gregory had actually become friends and colleagues. They struggled together to subjugate the rebellious Lombards, but Frederick had far less success against Lombardy than he had against Sicily, since Lombardy would find an ally in Henry. So next time, we'll be looking at the Sons' Rebellion. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.